Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
This is the Weekly Scramble, a place where we chat about life over a cold one or two. It's time to belly up to the pod with Mike Fratelloni and your host, Chris Reavers.
That's right. It's time for the Weekly Scramble. My name is Chris Reavers. By my side, his name is Mike Fratelloni with Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores. Hello, Michael.
How you doing, Reavers?
I am doing fantastic, minus allergy season, but you I like think that? I can... No, not at all.
It seems like we're getting a lot of COVID allergy crossovers. So I've met many, many people that I know are saying, oh, it's allergies. And then a couple days later, they're like, oops, it wasn't allergies.
So can I share a quick story
sure.
with you? I'm glad you brought that up. Mm-hmm. How should I phrase this? Saturday, I was at an establishment.
Okay.
I had a meeting, and then I had to run a couple of errands afterwards on my way home. I stopped in to get, you know, gas, grab a snack, and grab something to drink. And it was, you know, I was starting to sound like this.
Okay.
And I sneezed really loud as I was in line. And lady in front of me turned around and yelled at me and said, if you are sick, you should not be at a place like this. And I wasn't anywhere near where I live.
Sure.
So I just kind of assessed and thought, should I say something? Because I guess technically I'm a public figure.
Yeah, you don't want somebody to recognize
you. And I said, should I say something or should I not say something? In that brief half second of thought, I went, thank you for the advice.
Yeah. Thank you.
No, and I said, thank you for the advice. It wasn't asked for. Yeah. And I just smiled.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because I just thought, it's allergies, not COVID, you psychopath.
Yes, yeah.
You know, okay, yes, I agree with you. If I was sick, I just thought, I am, and that's the part of the pandemic that we've been battling for 2 years that has literally driven me insane. It's the amount of people that are so willing and comfortable to tell other people how to live their lives.
You know what? There's that adage, and I'm 100% for this, right? I would never hit a woman, right? I would never hit a woman, right?
Yes, I would hope.
Well, I mean, there's situations like if I saw a woman, drowning a puppy, like I might hit that woman to stop her from drowning. I mean, there's situations
you
where you'd have
you
to
would
do
try
it.
To intervene,
right? I'd do something to intervene, right. But I am a recent convert to TikTok, right? So you see a lot of these Karens.
You are, by the way.
Yeah, you know, I am. I've gone onto TikTok. I've pretty much forgotten all other social media besides TikTok because it feeds me like little 13-second clips. It's starting to understand who I am now, so it does like a bunch of like woodworking stuff and redoing of car stuff. It's getting to what I like, right? But there's a lot of Karen stories, like a Karen where a woman's just losing her mind on a group of guys. And I'm like, huh, I wonder when there's going to come a day where someone says, lady, you think you can talk to me that way? But I'm the kind of guy, not me, but the person in this video, who says,
the proverbial me.
Yeah, proverbial. And I'm just going to knock your block off. And then you're going to think, huh, maybe I shouldn't do that to people. Because it is, and again, I'm not advocating that anybody does that.
Of course not.
But if a woman's standing there screaming in a guy's face and swinging at him, I think there's going to come a day where the guy's going to say, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. You think you, and especially when it's about, you don't have a mask on and you're here and we're outside.
The problem too is, we actually touched on this quite lengthy today on Garage Logic, but part of what's going on, and I have talked to someone that works in the profession, and she basically told me, cases are up, mental illness is at an all-time high, and she said people are, they're cracking, people are losing it.
Yeah,
and it's a multitude of things.
Yeah.
It's financial, because as we know, everything costs more.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a lot of different things. You know, a lot of families are in real struggles right now because of that, because of money, because of stress, because of whatever else. And people are just starting to crack. And I don't even know where I was going to go with that. But in any event, so that's why I think I just try to maintain a chill profile, especially when I'm in public, because you never know when someone else is going to snap, like you were just
suggesting. You just have no idea. Yeah. And, you know, one thing, too, with social media, and this is not a rip on social media, but I don't think it should be around. I really don't. I don't. Because
it's very destructive.
Yeah. In the past, when someone got shot in St. Paul, it would make it into the Star Tribune or make it in the Pioneer Press, and you'd read about it the next day, right? Now, when someone gets shot in Sheboygan or gets shot in South Korea or
Buffalo,
whatever
New York.
It is, you just see every story, and you're thinking, wow, we're falling apart. Maybe, just maybe, it's the exact same amount of stuff that's happening. We just now see every single thing. We have news aggregators that just tell you all the bad stuff, and you never get those great stories. The newspaper used to have to fill some of their pages with great stories. Little Timmy won the award for the science fair. Now they don't have to do that anymore.
I would normally agree with you that we are exposed to much more media than I think we should be, because I even find myself, once we're done with the show on Friday, off.
Yeah, unplug.
I'm not reading news. I'm not watching news until Monday morning. Joe hates it that I admit that, but I'm sorry. I need a break from it.
Yeah, you need a little break.
But we had a startling revelation on the show today because of the tragic events that took place in Buffalo, New York over the weekend. We now have 202 mass shootings in this country this year. Which
that
is just
a lot. And
it's just unthinkable.
Remind me of the definition of a mass shooting.
It's three or more.
Okay, three or more. And so, but you got to, statistics.
Three or more that does not include the active gunmen.
Okay, so yeah.
Three victims or more.
Of it. Okay.
Yes.
So, but you got to remember, that could be, hey, I'm at a party, everyone's getting drunk, I get mad at Tony, and then I shoot Tony and four other people.
True.
It might not be, I'm going into a synagogue and trying to kill people, or I'm going into whatever. So I wonder how many of those 202 you said?
Yes.
Are people that are not related to each other,
that don't know each other. Yeah, I can't answer that.
Because that's much more of a telling fact or statistical point, right? Because if it's just some dude shooting his buddies because they robbed him or whatever it is, it's like, okay, I don't want that to happen, but that's a little different situation of than just people going into a grocery store and losing their minds.
Do you mind if I change topics?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's talk about something better.
Well, you know, we made our bread and butter talking about beer for so many years on the show, and I still think that has a role on this show as well. And I ran across something and I immediately wanted to tweet this out because I wanted to bring this up with you on our show. So I was at one of my favorite places, Hy-Vee. I love Hy-Vee. I just love it. And she always makes fun of me because I drive out of my way to go there. She says, there's a grocery store right down the street. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't care. It's not Hy-Vee.
I'm going to Hy-Vee.
So anyway, because I like when I can go in and buy all my groceries, my vitamins, whatever I need, and then get shoes.
Yeah,
if I need shoes.
Do they have shoes at Hy-Vee?
Oh yeah.
Oh really? I guess I didn't know that.
You can buy clothes. You can buy all sorts of stuff. Oh yeah, it's great. So anyway, I'm walking by the cosmetic area where you buy the shaving stuff and you buy the deodorant and all that. And I was walking by to go get whatever I was going to get, and I stopped and went, "Hold up, wait a minute, something ain't right here." And on the shelf, I did a double take, and I saw the infamous Busch beer logo, right? And I thought, well, why? They can't sell beer here. It's got to be in the liquor store.
Yeah, it's got to be in the separate part, yeah.
It was soap.
Busch beer
mountain-sized beer soap.
Huh.
Refreshing sandalwood scent.
Oh, that sounds good.
And I thought, okay, this is worth a tweet. So I snapped a little photo, and the caption I had was, the official soap of... You seriously need to consider going to treatment.
Yeah.
That was my caption, right? Well, then I get a reply from my buddy Kyle, who says, I actually have this soap.
Really?
And so I was at a meeting last night, and he happened to be there, and I said, please tell me you were kidding.
It wasn't an AA meeting.
No. It was a baseball meeting last night. And he said, Reeves, I wasn't kidding. I actually have that soap.
I mean, that's kind of cool, right?
But I'm thinking, I asked him, I said, do you smell like beer all the time? He said, no, it smells like soap.
It's just got a Busch logo on it.
And I thought, well, then they're geniuses because they're taking what normally would probably be a $2 bar of soap. They're packaging Busch beer on it and they're selling it for $8.
I don't know why more companies don't do that, right? I mean, why doesn't Busch also make snowboards? Because they're like the Busch Mountains. And like,
Maybe they do.
Like, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they just become quite the conglomerate
Let's
and just do everything.
They sell on their website.
I don't know. I have a strange feeling they don't sell many other things besides Busch beer.
Hmm.
Are you a Busch drinker?
Busch Light, probably. Here's what you have to consider. Yeah. When you are involved with amateur baseball, whatever park you're going to, they sell Busch Light. And that pretty much in this state has been adopted as one of the most favorable light beers of amateur baseball.
It did. Okay. Oh, so yeah. The other day I mowed my yard, right?
Nice.
It was kind of hot outside and my girls were sitting in the kitchen. I walked in, I never drink at home. I mean, hardly ever drink at home.
Sure.
And I grabbed a Hams beer, which I love, a can of Hams. And I did one of those, like, full on, just mowed the yard, guzzled this beer down, right?
Okay.
And my girls looked at me like I had just strangled a puppy. I'm like, what? And they're like, drinking beer much? I'm like, you've seen me had one beer in this house in the last 2 months. I think it's okay if I slam one down and I'm sweaty. I told those girls they've never worked as hard as I did mowing that yard ever in their entire lives. So they were, they don't understand the love of having an after mowing beer, right?
So I happen to be on their website, and they sell obviously clothing, hats, and whatnot, and they sell tap handles, they sell all sorts of stuff on there. Which, by the way, that's always cool when you go to somebody's garage, their man cave garage, and they've got the personalized
that is cool
handle. That is so cool.
I want to set that up. Like I have a little setup. I'd like to do that. I can't go through that much beer, though.
That's my problem, too.
A little quarter keg would go bad in 5 days or something. Yeah. I'm not going to drink a quarter keg of beer.
No. Otherwise, then you'd be having to do what my tweet says.
Yes. Right. Yeah. I would have to, like, say, okay, and now I got to step back from the drinking.
So you mentioned TikTok.
Yeah.
The video you sent me absolutely made my day.
Describe it.
It's a great video. It's how old are the girls, do you think?
I don't know.
They can't be, what are they, 10?
Yeah.
Maybe around 10 years old. And this poor kid is looping really bad, got the bad swing in baseball.
He's up at the plate.
I thought it was two girls. It's two boys?
Yeah, I think it's two boys. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Two girls. Well, the kid.
Doesn't matter.
See, I didn't want to gender. Sure. They are up at the plate.
So they are swinging the bat, and it's clear that the kid's really struggling to make contact with the ball. So two strikes go by. The catcher gets up because mom is videotaping this. And telling the kid to choke up on the bat. And clearly the kid doesn't know what that means. Mm-hmm. So the catcher stands up and adjusts the kid's hands. And, of course, the next pitch, he connects it and gets a hit. And I thought, okay, that's fantastic.
Isn't that sweet?
I'm sure some parent complained that, why are you helping that kid out? I guarantee it happened.
I hope not.
I hope not, too. I have such little faith in humanity. But that absolutely made my day. So thank you very much for sending that to me over the weekend. That was cool.
You're welcome. I had a momentary, so I was at volleyball games all weekend, right? My kids are playing volleyball. So it's a tournament that lasts literally all weekend. I'm in and out of work. Like I'm going to work for 5 hours, going to volleyball for 2 hours, going back to work for 3 hours, whatever. And there's a team in volleyball, everyone sits together, both sides of the team. You sit on one end of the court and you sit together. And this guy is just screaming.
No.
And he's not doing anything wrong, but like when our team's getting ready to serve, he's going, okay, let's go, side out, come on, let's go. It's like, okay, we're not
doing
that.
You're at a 12.
Bring it down. And I'm texting the person I'm sitting next to, and I'm like, I hate this guy. Like I'm at the level of hatred to this guy. I'm sure he's a fine guy. He just wants his kids to do well, but he's just yelling loudly, like right behind me for the other team. And I had to say to my kids and to my family that was there, I'm done. I'm not going to these games because I can't. I'm going to be the guy who gets punched in the face. And I don't want to be the guy who gets punched in the face, right? I don't want to be the guy who says, hey, idle down. This is a 12-year-old's volleyball game. And it doesn't need to be this.
I've been hearing this for a while, and it's true that parents are single-handedly ruining youth sports.
Yes.
They are. Yeah. They just are. And not all of them. But there's a complete reason why there's a lack of umpires. We've talked about this before, but there's a reason for that. And because I know a lot of people that do ump, that do ref, and they've just said, I'm not, to hell with it. I'm not doing this. Yeah. I don't blame them. I've been asked 1,000 times and I will not do it. Sorry.
I would never do it.
It's not worth it. But
well, then you'd have to watch more baseball games.
So, so my boys are starting to get involved in sports. Mm-hmm. And this past Sunday, my youngest was playing a flag football game. He's 7.
Yep.
And the coach from their team was getting mad at my son's team because he thought that they were being too physical because there's a lot of rules. Obviously, you're not allowed to tackle. Mm-hmm. You're also not allowed to stiff arm. There's a lot of things you're not allowed to do. But you got to keep in mind, these kids are 7.
Yeah, like they're going to be 7 years old.
Yeah. And the other coach went nuts on my son's coach.
Really?
And I'm standing there. And I looked at my wife and I said, they're really arguing about this.
Yeah, a 7-year-old.
And then I thought, I'm not getting involved. I'm not one of the coaches. I'm just a parent here observing. And I thought, I'm just going to sit down and I'm not going to intervene. I'm just going to chill.
Do you think it would be better or worse if women had to coach? What if the moms were the football coaches?
Ooh, I think it would. Well, I don't know.
It could be just as bad.
I guess I don't know because moms tend to be a tad bit more protective of boys. As I know very well firsthand. But then what made it even worse is he wouldn't stop. He wouldn't stop like muttering because they're on opposite sides of the field.
Yeah.
And finally, I must have been standing next to his or near his wife because he turned around and he said, where are these kids from? And she said, I think they're from Bell Plain. And I'm thinking, dude, you need to chill.
Yeah, relax.
So finally, I heard him say after the game was over that, because I think there was three guys involved, and he basically looked at one of the other assistant coaches and said, yeah, I'm really sorry for getting so hot. I just, you know, I'm thinking, bro, you really need to not be involved in this capacity. Yeah. So
if you're too passionate,
bad.
If you're too passionate, there's something wrong. I'm experiencing.
No, I disagree with that. It's fine to have a ton of passion.
Sure.
But you got to control your emotion, especially with young kids like that, because what happens is these kids get burnt out way too easy, especially the ones that are involved in one sport year round. You can't be like that, or they're not going to want to do it anymore.
Yeah,
you know. Anyway,
this one sport thing I think is ruining a lot of things,
because
kids are just, I mean, my kids are spending way too much time, way too much effort on volleyball. They really love it. Right. And they're getting a little bit of props because they're kind of good at it.
Sure.
Right. And all of my kids are in it. But it's like, OK, well, what about golf? What about gymnastics? What about something different? Right.
And you know who will tell you that, by the way? Pro athletes. They will say, no, you should not play one sport year round. Even hockey.
Yeah.
Because I know that's huge here. But you can't play one sport year round. Or otherwise, do all kids get burnt out to play one sport year round? Of course not. Yeah. But the chances of that happening are far greater than the ones that don't.
And the worst part is if you get talented out, meaning you just don't grow fast enough or whatever for your sport, then all of a sudden you've committed to this sport, and then you're not good at it when you're 14 because you're 5'2" instead
and
of 5'7".
And you haven't been playing anything else.
You have nothing else to back it up, and then you're thinking, oh, I don't even want to try to do something else because those people have been playing for 7 years.
Right.
It would become really difficult. I did... when my daughters started to get a little older, they said they wanted to play hockey. So I took their skates and I ran them across the driveway really hard, right? I just scratched up their blades really badly on the asphalt driveway. And then we went skating and they could barely do it. And I said, this sport is not for you. I was so excited that you were going to become hockey players, but you can't even skate. You guys are horrible at this. So I had to beat it out of them because the last thing I wanted them to do is become girl hockey players, because I'm not going to go sit in some arena when it's 2 degrees all summer long and watch them skate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and so I have a good friend who all his kids play hockey. And he didn't know what a hockey puck was when we were buddies in college, you know, but again, it's like, well, his kids really were passionate about it and were interested in it. And then he just said, oh, this is kind of cool.
But then you're stuck.
And
then you're stuck.
You should see the texts I get.
Oh, it's so horrible.
He will even say, yeah, I sure wouldn't want to be on, you know, to be 81 degrees outside and a perfect day. He said, yeah, sure wouldn't want to be on a boat right now as he's in some rink in, you know, Alexandria or whatever.
There, freezing.
Wherever he
freezing.
Is. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how people do it.
All right. So there was a story I wanted to get to, and I have a feeling that you and I are going to have differing opinions on this.
Ooh, this will be interesting.
There was the story, I believe it was it late last week, of the gentleman who was on a single engine plane.
Mm-hmm.
The pilot... the pilot fell unconscious. Is that what happened?
Yeah, he just wasn't feeling well.
He landed the plane with no problem, no injuries.
One of the passengers landed.
One of the passengers then landed the plane. And you're pretty marveled at this.
I think I'm reading the story. A 39-year-old flooring salesman, right? The pilot says, "Hey guys, I just got to let you know I don't feel very good. I got a headache. I'm fuzzy, and I just don't feel
right." Flag number one.
Right, that's not good. And they said, you know, what do we need to do? And then when they asked that to the pilot didn't respond. So at some point in time, they pull the pilot out, and it's from the Bahamas to Florida, right? The flight originated in the Bahamas and landing in Florida. And they pull the pilot, and this 39-year-old stud hops into the pilot seat and proceeds to throw on the headphones, communicate with ground control. Ground control has to figure out what plane it is because they can't figure out where they are. So they're sitting at like 9,100 feet. And he says, you know, go down 1,000 feet. He goes, well, how do I go down 1,000 feet? And the guy's teaching them how to do it, right, in the Cessna. And then they can see by asking him to go up and down, they can track and figure out what plane it is. And he did a relatively perfect landing. Mm-hmm. And they asked him, like, were you nervous? He goes, well, I didn't want to die or crash. It wasn't even a thought that I had. So I just went ahead and did what they told me to do, and it just kind of all worked out. And the guy that was helping them, he did something kind of neat. The guy, the air traffic controller, was also a certified flight instructor, right? So he knew that plane, and he pulled it up so he could see what the gentleman was looking at on the cockpit, right? And he said, on your left hand, you have this switch, lower that down. And the guy just did it, and he did it perfectly and landed this plane relatively perfectly. And you could hear some of the videos where people are like, who like commercial airline pilots are like, wait, he did what? He landed a caravan, Cessna caravan, by himself. I mean, it was unbelievably cool. And the guy said, well, I didn't want to die, so I'm going to go ahead and do this, right? And but even when he started, one of the first things he said is, hey, I'm maintaining 9,100 feet. He like did everything kind of like what a professional pilot would do. And I think that's really, really, really cool.
You know what?
What?
I don't believe that he didn't have any flight experience.
Why?
Because he landed it perfectly with... That's the cynic in me. I know.
Really?
I Joe, you should hear what Joe says to me about my cynicism when we're not recording the show. He said, you don't believe anything. And I said, I know.
I know.
I don't believe anything.
Okay, here's why I believe that he did that.
Okay.
One, there's not a company name anywhere, right? It's not sponsored by whatever flight school. It's not sponsored. Usually when you become cynical, when someone has some financial gain, but this guy didn't want his name let out. I mean, we do know his name now. Didn't want to say anything about it. You know, it wasn't sponsored by Avionics Flight School. You know, there was no financial benefit to
him. So you're thinking but it's not like he was set to gain fame and fortune, like winning the lottery and wanting to remain anonymous in this regard, right?
Yeah, but he just, you know, he's a flooring guy. He just didn't want to die. That's, you know, remember Scully, right? The guy who landed the plane.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And everyone's like...
Now, that impresses me.
Is it?
Yes.
Does it? Why? That story drives me nuts.
It does.
Why? You know why? What else was he going to do? He didn't want to die, right? He's a professional, highly skilled pilot. He didn't do anything heroic.
Yes, he did. He landed a damaged plane in the middle of New York City.
He used the skills that he's developed over his lifetime to not die.
So you didn't go watch the Tom Hanks movie in the theater.
I did not watch it, but I get the concept. It's like, oh, this is problematic. I'm going to stay calm. I'm going to try to not die. Heroes jump on their grenade so others don't die. Scully said it didn't matter if he had an empty... Okay, wait, let me ask you this. Do you think he would have done something different if there was no one in back? Or would he have done the exact same thing to not die? Of course he would have done the exact same thing. He doesn't want to die.
But in the two scenarios playing out, the one that we were just discussing, it was him and this other pilot. Sully's in charge of 300... whatever people also in addition to his own existence.
So he might have said, I don't want to die a super lot, and I surely don't want to kill 300 other people.
Right.
But first and foremost, I don't want to die first. So I'm going to use all the skills that I possibly have to land this. And, you know, he was highly skilled. I'm not saying he's not a good pilot or a skilled pilot, but heroic? Well, he didn't land on... I just don't know how to say it. Right? Okay, let me put it this way.
Sure.
When a firefighter's standing there staring at a fire and someone says, my kid's up there on level 2, and that person goes in, that's heroic because they're risking their life. Right? he could just stand out there and say, well, let's try to squirt it from the ground here. We'll try to squirt the hose up into the second floor to save your child. That is a heroic thing because he's taking a real risk. Scully just did Sullenberg. Yeah, I was calling him Scully from Monsters, Inc. Sully Sullenberg. He just did what he had to do. He just did what a great pilot would do. And God bless him. Good for him. Hero. Wow. He doesn't fall into that.
Wow.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. That seems pretty self-serving that he wanted to live. I still like him. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a fantastic pilot.
Here, I thought I was being mean. My God.
Well, I'm not mean. I'm not mad
kidding.
At him.
I'm kidding.
And I think he would be the first. I think I saw an interview where he said he's not a hero. That's what we're trained to do.
You know what? I do remember him saying
that. Yeah. So if he agrees with me, I'm going to go ahead and say, good.
Because now I do remember him saying that exact same thing.
Because he did. What else was I supposed to do?
Right.
Right.
The alternative was not good. Right.
Yeah, I get you. Okay, good.
So
I'm glad we're on the same page.
We need to discuss one of your favorite people on the planet, Elon Musk.
I like him.
And I'm starting to become a huge fan of him as well, by the way. And here's why I like him. I like him because he doesn't cater to the mob.
Not even remotely close.
That's what I like about him. Yeah. And I like that he kind of flies in the face of what that party typically represents. Because he even said today, I think it was today, he said, listen, I've been voting for Democrats my entire life, and I think that that might change just because I don't like what's going on here. In any event, there's an issue with his potential acquisition of Twitter. And I believe it is because they need to prove, they being Twitter, need to prove that, is it less than 5% of the accounts are not fake before an acquisition can take place?
Yes.
To which I say, best of luck to you.
Good luck.
Right.
What do you think it's actually going to be? So they're going to come up with a real percentage, and he's going to say, oh, you know, I was willing to accept 5% fake accounts for $44 billion. Mm-hmm. But if it's 10%, then I'm paying $4 billion too much. I should maybe pay $40 billion, right? But if it's 35% or 40%, which it very well could be that high, then all of those people that had owned that stock in the past have huge potential lawsuits to anyone who is running Twitter and falsifying these numbers, right? Because that first of all, Musk will say, okay, I'll give you $10 billion for it or $15 billion because the value is nothing now. The stock's going to be valued at nothing. He could just say, oh, let this burn. I was buying stock at whatever he was buying, 25, and it's going to go down to 10. I'll buy it all up then. I'll buy it in the free market.
For a fraction of what I was willing to pay before.
And everyone who's running Twitter is gone. And they're not only gone, but might face criminal charges for fraud.
And they'll leave like rats leaving a sinking ship.
Oh my God!
And it just makes the whole situation makes me smile and laugh.
It's crazy. I like everything about him. I'm not a big fan of his girlfriend's name.
Which one is it now again?
Grimes.
I thought they separated.
Well, really? Okay. I don't know that, but I do know that at one point in time he looked at a girl.
Computer right here.
He called his buddy. You know what he did? He's like, hey, Reavers, guess what?
What's up?
I got a date with Grimes tonight.
Okay.
And Reavers had to say, wait, what's her first name? Grimes. Oh, you mean like Cher? She just has one name. And he goes, yes, but it's Grimes. Because I guarantee you, if we lived together and something was dirty, I'm like, honey, you left the kitchen all grimy, is what I'd say. And then that's why my relationship with Grimes would be short-lived.
My God, he has a long Wikipedia page. I'm trying to scroll to the bottom.
To find Grimes?
Well, because it does list her on here, personal life.
I think isn't she the father or the mother of his children? Doesn't he have children with her?
In May of 2018, Musk and Canadian musician Grimes revealed that they were dating. Grimes gave birth to their son in May of 2020. According to Musk and Grimes, his name was XAEA-12. However, the name would have violated California regulations as it contained characters that are not in the modern English language, English alphabet, and that was then changed to XAEA. Okay.
Yeah.
In March of 2022, Grimes said of her relationship with Musk, quote, I would probably refer to him as my boyfriend, but we're very fluid, end quote.
She's pretty. I'm looking her up online right now.
Okay.
She's pretty.
Sure.
When she's not dressed like she kind of has a goth
look
sometimes.
She's got the goth look to her,
but at other times she just has normal looking, non-goth look. But I don't know. I could see Cher. I could see if, not me dating Prince, but I could see someone dating Prince, right? Those are cool names.
Sure.
But if you're going to have one word names, like it would be naming your child Scummy. I wouldn't just call her Grimes. She's too pretty to be a Grimes.
It's just the actual name that you have an issue with.
Yeah,
not that it's
actually,
a singular
now that I'm looking
version.
At her, she's quite pretty. I get why he would be attracted to her, but I guess I would miss that.
But you're glossing over the bigger news.
What's that?
As it pertains to Elon Musk.
Oh, is there?
I don't know if you saw the headline, but Elon Musk's mother is going to be the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue cover model.
Wow. Because she's pretty too, though.
She was
right?
a model when she was younger.
Because I do remember her being pretty.
In fact, because we talked about this briefly during GL, but John looked it up, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe there will be four different cover models.
Okay.
One of them is Elon's mother. Mm-hmm. One of them is I just spaced on her name. But anyway, they're going to have four different swimsuit models. I don't know what that means. I don't know if there's four separate issues. I haven't received Sports Illustrated as a publication in years.
Well, as soon as the internet kind of came in, you didn't need to wait for that time till it came out. You're like, I can just go look. All I have to say is she's a mature woman, beautiful.
Yes.
I mean, you could absolutely tell she was and still is quite the beauty.
But, yes.
Isn't that cool? That's a great thing. You know,
well, Sports Illustrated, that's a brilliant move because he is obviously he's been a hot button talker mm-hmm. these last couple of weeks, and in addition to being extremely successful, but that's brilliant marketing for Sports Illustrated.
74 years old and she looks stunning.
Yeah.
Right. She just looks great. And you know, I kind of appreciate that if I'm not mistaken, was it last year that they had the first transgender swimsuit model?
I can't remember.
It was one of those. So I think somebody at Sports Illustrated said, we need to do something pertinent. Otherwise, no one's going to care. If we just throw another Kathy Ireland on the cover, there's going to be a whole bunch of people that say, oh, Kathy Ireland's pretty, but they're not going to talk. No one's going to go buy Sports Illustrated for it.
Right.
I feel bad for publications like that because I used to love getting the baseball magazine that I'd get and Sports Illustrated, and you'd sit down and you'd actually look at it, and they'd have a story that was new that wasn't just tweeted out mm-hmm. 2 minutes after it happened.
Right. 'Cause
now you can't invest in writing a story because all someone has to do is send out a tweet.
And then
the story's gone, right?
There's the information.
Any amount of work you worked on it is just gone.
But there have been outlets that have been able to capitalize, on modern technology in that regard. I mean, I'm thinking a lot of it, like places like The Athletic, for instance, that basically replaced Sports Illustrated because it's a 100% digital format. There mm-hmm. is no publication. It's just all online on your phone because, sorry, but that's just how we consume media these days. Look at our show. We used to be on an AM radio station and now we're a podcast.
I miss that.
who doesn't?
Joe.
The guy that normally sits in that chair.
Yeah, I miss the fun of having... So, behind the scenes, right? In this podcast, you and I never stop. We don't stop the podcast and say, oh, I said something silly.
Right.
Let's rewind that. We've never done that in the history of doing that. And I think that's because we did 8 years of radio where there was no stopping, right?
Yeah, we only had hit the dump button once.
Yes, you only had I do remember one time, though, because you couldn't drink beer because you were in charge of the show,
correct.
Right?
So, but
we had like a green room with, sometimes there'd be 200 beers in there, right? For six people. We wouldn't drink 200 beers for six people, but people would bring a ton of beers.
Right.
And I remember one time you got up to use the restroom on a break, and all of a sudden you weren't like coming back. And I thought, uh-oh. It's going to quickly see my skills of how to run a show are going to be shown. And I'm going to be just exploited for the moron I am. And then with like 4 seconds left, you come dashing back in. And you're like, I knew exactly what time it was.
It's
ingrained in you.
It's radio clock brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly. Because during commercial breaks in radio, you would often have to go grab copy for a spot that needs to run, mm-hmm. or you would have to run to the bathroom, yeah. or you'd have to go
call the next guest,
go get yelled at by your boss for mm-hmm. a couple of minutes, or go get the next guest, yeah. or what have you. And so you just automatically know, okay, I have a 4 minute break or a 5 minute break or whatever it is, and you just know, okay, I need to be back at a certain time. Because I can even when I listen to radio stations and radio shows or talk stations or whatever, I know exactly when they'll be back from break.
Yeah.
So I'll go listen to a song or make a phone call or do whatever, and then I'll just know, they're going to be back here in a minute.
I think podcasts are fantastic. Obviously, this is one. Garage Lodge is one. I think radio is always going to be around. I really do.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do, too. I was going to say something, but I'll tell you that off the air. But I remember what I was going to say. So speaking of inner workings, yesterday, we got to meet Brian. The GLer that won the Traeger Gill.
Oh, fantastic! I need to get his photo and stuff.
I have it, so I was gonna tweet it out and tag you guys in it as well. But he couldn't have been cooler. He was a super
nice
guy. Been a listener forever.
Good.
One of these where he started listening to Joe because of his dad. Mm-hmm. Like in the truck, and so that's how he got hooked on Garage Logic. And anyway, so you'll love this. So he stops in yesterday, maybe half an hour before we start recording the show. And so I was just here getting stuff set up for the show, having some lunch, and I heard Jess, our promotions gal, bring him down here and introduce him to Joe. Oh, hey, how are you? Nice to meet you, this, that. And he wanted to, all he cared is he just wanted to see the studio.
Yeah, it's
and
cool.
And so
yeah.
I kind of walked him through here as Joe was doing show prep for the for GL, and he just says, yeah, okay, see ya. And I said, well, no, Joe, I'm going to show Brian the studio and stuff like that. And I thought, I looked at him, I said, you're getting a taste of the mayor.
You're getting a little bit of snub.
And he said, wow, he is exactly the same as he is on the show. I said, yeah, it's 100% authentic. There's no bit to it whatsoever. But anyway, yeah, he was really cool.
I think when guys get to be, not that Joe's old, but he's a little older, right? He's in his whatever. And they lose the pleasantries. Like, for example, when I call my father on the phone, I'm calling my father. He doesn't answer hello. He answers with a conversation he's starting that he wants to have with
right.
me. He goes right to, at the cabin, I had to drag a dead deer. And it's like, okay, well, I'm calling to tell you that, you know, something else. But he just goes right into the conversation. And I know that when I walked in the studio today, Joe and I didn't have any pleasantries. He's here for a couple minutes when I get here, right?
Yep.
To show. I got bare spots in my yard. And
that's the first
he just
thing
goes
he says.
Right to it. Not, hey, Fratelloni, how you doing? I do the obligatory, hello, Mr. Suchere.
Right.
I don't actually say that, but I do something like that, and I laugh. And now I find myself, when I call my kids, I go right to, did you clean your bedroom? Like we're gonna go right to the business portion of this conversation, and maybe that's just how it is,
right?
And Joe's been a professional at that for years and years.
But
and years.
It is funny. I mean, I walked you in here after I went outside and got you, and it wasn't 2 seconds. Okay, so I got these bare spots. Yeah, they're in my backyard. Blah, blah. It was just because he even said right when we wrapped up GL. First thing he thought of, because it was a conversation piece during the show. Mm-hmm. So the first thing he says is, what time is Frat getting here? And I said, well, he normally gets here around like 2 o'clock or so. And that's all that, so
he was
that's
just waiting
all
till,
that's on his mind
until
he's
two.
Sitting there until you walk in the door and he's going to ask you a question about whatever.
I loved Monday Night Sports Talk with Royce's story of his sump pump not working. Can that guy tell a story or what?
He can spin a yarn.
He is unbelievably talented at
yes.
that. And perfect example, because he started Monday Night Sports Talk off with, I got a story to tell you about it. I mean, there was no pleasantries. There was like, hey, what's going on? Are you going to watch some games? He went right into a story. And if you haven't listened to it, you just go to GL page, right, wherever your podcast aggregator is, and listen to it, because it is a wonderfully funny story.
Yes.
It was great.
But I don't recall if I mentioned this on the show itself, but my favorite part of the story and if you haven't heard it, so Royce's power goes out, and 7 years ago, he also lost power, and it was for several days,
yeah,
and so
days,
his whole basement flooded.
Yeah.
So that's all he was worried about, because it wasn't cheap for him to repair that. So that's all he's thinking about is, I got to get this water out of the
sump pump hole.
There you go. But he managed to, in the frantic state that he was in from carrying water to the bathroom the laundry room sink, he managed to find time to tweet about it.
Yes.
To which if that doesn't explain Royce in a nutshell, I don't know what will.
That is just perfect.
Yeah.
Right?
And I just thought, I don't know why that's the part that makes me smile, but that's because that's Pat.
Yeah.
That's 100% Pat.
It's so great. He tells a great story and he got it figured out. And I was listening, I was like, because he has a watchdog. It's a battery powered backup on his sump. So,
oh, that's what it is?
Yeah. So when your power goes out,
you know,
and Kenny was saying, well, the battery's dead. And Joe's saying the battery's dead. It's like, no, that battery's supposed to be plugged into the wall, right? As soon as your power goes out, now the battery's fully charged. It's waiting there fully charged. And the moment your sump pump starts to rise, the water starts to rise. You go ahead and the pump will kick on, right?
But if it's plugged in and the power's out.
Yeah, well, it's plugged in, charging, trickle charging the battery all day, every day.
Got it.
So it's always, and at some point in time, your battery will get bad, but it might be 10 years. It might be a long time before that battery can't do anything, right?
Okay.
So it should have, like everything he was talking about, like, that should have worked. There should be nothing nothing prevents that from working. So he had it right. Everything he was doing was right. But it was frustrating because now I wanted to go over there and say, well, let me look at your pump because something's. But then you made a good point. Like, I don't want to be part of this.
No,
Kenny was like, I don't want to be part of this.
Well, that's why I said, let's pawn him off and Fratelloni, and then we're done with it. You know, like, let Mike deal with it.
In my brain, I was listening to it like at 2 o'clock this morning. I was thinking, he should have called me. And I'm like, wait. I don't want somebody to call me. I don't want anybody to do that.
You stay home. Leave me out of this.
Yes, I don't need to know. I already have. So I had this great experience at, you know, Newhouse, right? And there's it's a walkout, right? So, and we got a little rain and it kind of backed up into the house, right?
Yeah.
So because we have this drain that had a bunch of leaves in it, pulled the leaves and it drained out, right? It was my fault because I left a bunch of leaves there. So one of my daughters, I go into her room and I said, it smells kind of musty down here. Have you seen any water come in? She goes, no, but by the back door, that carpet's been wet for days. I said, what? She goes, yeah, by the back door, like down where the thing is, like that carpet's totally wet. I mean, it's soaking wet. And I said, you didn't want to like mention that to me? Like, in how long has it been? Well, since the rain. And this was like 5 days later. I'm like, okay, ladies, here's the thing. If part of the house is on fire, you go ahead and tell me. If something's leaking through the walls, you go ahead and just go ahead and tell me. I won't be mad, but please just let me know. And I guess she just didn't think that. She's like, I just thought the water would evaporate or whatever and just slowly take, instead of just mold out and rot out the basement. So I was, of course, having to deal with that. And my wife was like, well, don't be mad at her. I'm like, I'm not mad. But of all the things, you know, you go ahead when you walk on that spot and your socks get wet. You go ahead and say, hey, Dad, is this regular? I'm not a homeowner. I'm just a kid. I can't imagine that this is regular. We don't have a pool in our basement. Now this is going to be a segment my kids get mad at me.
Let's be honest. Your kids aren't going to be listening to our show.
No, they do.
Oh.
Well, it's like homework for them. I got to make them sit down. They actually write a little story.
So it's funny. They came up the other day. I think we were recording the show, but Kenny had mentioned when we used to be on the radio how when the girls would come into the studio with you, Kenny would set them up and put on a cartoon for them in the
bowl. In Royce
would. Yeah, exactly. So that they were such cute little girls. No, they're like young ladies now.
Yeah.
They're getting old. Said, oh my God, we're all getting old. In fact, I got a text today, good friend of mine, whose son is graduating high school, and I'm thinking, oh my God.
How did that happen?
How is he graduating high school? My nephew is graduating high school this year. I'm thinking, you were just born 5 seconds ago. Like, what is going on?
It was my nephew's birthday the other day, and I called him up and I said, what are you, 21, 22? He goes, I'm 29. I said, you've been able to drink for 8 years? Like, I'm really far off on your age. And he's like, how did you think I was 21? I'm like, I don't know. I don't really care.
Right.
You're a great kid, but I don't care how old you are.
And I don't keep track. I barely know how old I am.
If I didn't log into Facebook, I wouldn't have known it was your birthday.
Right.
I don't have it in my phone or a calendar. I don't do that stuff. It is bad when you're not good with days because you do disappoint people on their birthdays quite often.
And I have a fairly decent memory, but and dates for certain things, you know, like your wedding anniversary, your wife, you know, like those kinds of, but it's other things where she'll say, well, don't you remember? Okay, sure. Yeah, I don't remember whose birthday that happened. I don't remember.
Nothing's worse than having a wife with a great memory because they don't forget anything.
But see, that's what's odd because I have a way better memory than my wife.
Oh, really?
Okay. Oh, not even close. But she remembers dates of things a lot better than I do.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Yeah. But as far as overall memory, I have a way better memory than she does.
Something I've been doing lately is making my memory better because I've been able to remember people's names, and I haven't really changed anything. My environment's changed a little bit, but I haven't been eating rice cakes for lunch. I mean, I don't know what it is. So I'm very excited because I'm like, oh my God, I'm remembering some people's names. I'm recognizing people out on the streets instead of like saying, I've never met that person. It's like, oh, they were in your wedding. I'm like, oh, I should know them, right? So I'm something I'm doing. I'm going to try to isolate my eating and resting because I think I'm really on the cusp of something great if I can figure out why my memory is all of a sudden starting to work.
Okay, speaking of memory.
Yes.
So I've been kind of frantic here in the last minute or two. So the policy here at Hubbard is, you know, when a guest comes in, you are supposed to notify. We have new security here at Hubbard Broadcasting.
Yeah, it's a pretty secure facility.
As you're well aware of. And so, cause I don't know if you know this, but Minneapolis has had some crime issues recently. So anyway, so you're always supposed to notify security that you have a guest coming in. So that way they can prepare a name tag. And if they need to do a background check, which I don't think they do. But anyway, so we're sitting here doing the show and I see the subject line from the security team. It says guest. And I'm thinking, oh crap, did I book somebody for the show?
Yeah, who do I have?
And then I'm thinking, oh crap, are they going to get mad at me because I basically just let you in the door every time?
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
But I have it established with management, like Mike's not a guest.
Well, I actually have a pass.
You have a pass, yeah, yeah. And by the way, you're part of the show.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm sitting here freaking out going, oh crap, who did I? And she said, oh, I'm sorry, wrong Chris.
That's
great. But speaking of memory, I was thinking, did I book somebody and forgot to tell Mike?
One of my favorite stories of that security apparatus, right? So down in the parking lot, you walk through security. It's pretty tight. And I'm walking in one day to come do the beer show. And there's a woman dressed like a clown. And she has this big gift basket.
Oh, God.
And she's saying to the person at security, hey, I have to give this basket to someone on 107.1, right? Mm-hmm. I can't remember what day part it was or who they were giving it to. And my little monkey brain says, oh, I'll take her right up there. And the security guard looks at me and says, no, you won't.
No, you won't.
She's not going in. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's the exact person you probably not, but I didn't even contemplate that this person would be an insane person. Yeah. I was just like, oh, don't worry about it, I'll take her up, I'll get her right there, and the security guard looks at me like, there is not a chance this person's getting past that door.
The other thing I love, too, is, you know, it's kind of complicated if you come through the back security entrance, because mm-hmm. it's a maze in this building.
Yeah, you can't just figure it out.
I mean, I've worked here for 15 years, and there's parts of the building I still don't know how to get to.
Yeah.
But I remember... somebody was maybe going to fill in or come on. I don't remember but I said, oh, it's super easy to get in here. You just go to the back desk. And I'm thinking, no, actually it's not very easy to get up here.
Then
I'll just come down and get you.
And then, yeah.
So anyway, so that's inside stories from Hubbard Radio.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? It's, I was looking at the building today and and this has to be an older building, but they maintain it. Like the grounds are so beautiful.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, the cool thing about the Hubbard Broadcasting building is that it has that big radio tower and each one of the legs, it has three legs, so two of the legs, one sits in Minneapolis and one sits in St. Paul, mm-hmm. which I think is really cool.
In fact, I don't know if you know that, you mm-hmm. probably know this, but the very main entrance at the front of the building where you walk in,
yes.
the front door, the left door is in Minneapolis and the right door is in St. Paul.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And so Mr. Hubbard, Mr. Hubbard Sr.'s father said, let's do this because we're a Twin Cities owned business,
station, yeah.
And let's have it be split right in the middle. So I laughed when you said, I don't know if everybody knows this, but there's crime in Minneapolis. Well, half of this building's in St. Paul.
True.
So there's crime all over. But there's no crime at this building. It's great.
No. I won't go into
It's a beautiful area, actually.
Yeah, it's great.
And this whole of University Avenue is looking better and better and better.
It is starting to improve.
I really think I have
noticed some improvements recently anyway. So let's hope that that's a continuing trend.
Let's keep that going.
Michael, thank you so much.
Hey, Reavers, you're the best.
Please do us a favor and rate and review this show wherever you happen to listen and whatever platform you happen to be listening to. We really appreciate it because it helps spread the word and help others find the Weekly Scramble, part of the Garage Logic Podcast Network. His name is Mike Fredelloni. My name is Chris Reavers. We will do this again next week. Until then, cheers.